Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this opportunity to come worship you. And as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would open our eyes so that we can see you. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds in a clear voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your worship folder is the sermon notes. You can take notes, fill in the blank, follow along that way. On the other side are weekly devotions, some scripture you can follow along with during the course of this week. If you're listening online, there's a little PDF file you can download as you listen to the sermon. Now, you can probably take any activity, any game, or any sport, and the following statement would be true. You would begin. You would be considered maybe a novice or a beginner. And as you continue your endeavor to improve, you get to a point where you have some level of progress or some confidence in what you're doing, whatever that game or sport or activity might be. And then there are those who go on to become really, really good. And still, there are those who will become experts. Experts. For instance, all of us at one time or another learned how to talk. Learned how to talk. Sometime, I don't even know, do you have to be a year old to talk? No. Okay, so sometime before you turn a year old, you learn to say a word or two. What might one of those words have been? Dada or mama, something like that. Then you begin at some point to improve your vocabulary, to string maybe a couple of words together like, feed me! Right? And then after more practice, you begin to develop some real skill in putting words into sentences. I want some food now! Right? Eventually, you become an expert in the field of communication using words, using signs or symbols. You know, kids will sometimes go like this. Whether they be speakers or journalists or authors, we become experts in communicating, and you know when you have met somebody who is really, really, really a good communicator, who knows how to hold your attention. Are you still listening yet? What it is this idea of progression. Progression. A child's development, their speech progression is normal, considered normal. And when a child stops developing in their speech, when they stop learning words or stringing words together in sentences, then that causes us concern. And we take that child to the doctors to determine if there is some type of an issue. As we continue on in our series of Transformed, it's tied into the thought that at the beginning of each year or at some point in our lives, there are areas of our lives we wish to transform, to change. Lose weight, get better at some task at home, at work, or at school. We set resolutions, we set goals to accomplish these things. And for many Christians and others who are spiritually minded, one of those resolutions or goals for a new year or at some point during the year might include becoming more spiritually attuned to God. It is in part the desire to transform our spiritual life from where it is to where it needs to be or where it should be. More, maybe it's becoming more regular in our spiritual life, more real in our prayer life, or even for it to become a more vital part of our life, our spiritual life. It should be like drinking water. You die without it. As the scripture was read this morning from the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter, in hockey terms, we've already passed the first period and are into the second period of the story. In the first period of the story, that is the first 16 verses, we find a variety, or we find that a very good friend of Jesus is sick, and his name is Lazarus. And Jesus seems to make absolutely no effort to get to him before he dies. Jesus then states the two purposes for not going to Lazarus while he was still alive. Two purposes which we didn't see yet, but our one is on the screen. Read it with me. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. No, purpose number one for Lazarus' death is what? So that God and Jesus may be what? Glorified. So that God and Jesus may be glorified. The second purpose is a little bit more cryptic when you read it, and you'll need to investigate it a little further. Read it with me. For your sake, Jesus says, for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. So purpose number two for Lazarus' death is what? So that they may believe. Believe what? Remember, purpose one is God and Jesus are to be what? Glorified. Glorified. Purpose number two is that we may believe. 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 Although this is the first period of the hockey story, this event happens and the disciples have walked with him for nearly 3 years already. They already believe that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God who has come to be the King. But still, maybe there is something that they're still lacking. Lacking. When Jesus says that they may believe, could it be that they may believe more? Can you believe Jesus more that he is the Son of God? Or maybe believe more deeply. How do you believe more deeply that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith tends to be like many other endeavors we take up in life. It begins as a seed. It then grows into a sapling, and finally it matures into a great and mighty tree with deep roots and a solid foundation. Or you would at least think that our belief would be like that, that it would grow into a sapling and flourish into a great big tree of belief with firm roots and a great foundation. Moving from the first period into the second period now, what the scripture was read this morning, Jesus gets near the home of Lazarus' sisters Mary and Martha. And it's after Lazarus has been dead for how many days?
4 days.
Martha hears Jesus is coming and goes to meet him, and she says to Jesus these words. It is a question I think oftentimes we ask. Lord, if you had been here, don't you ask that sometimes? Lord, where are you? If you had only been here, things would have gone right. Lord, if you had been here, read it with me. My brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Like the disciples, Martha and Mary, for that point, have been around Jesus long enough to know that minimally, Jesus can heal the sick. Minimally, Jesus can heal the sick. They have a level of faith in Jesus to know. What does it mean to know? To know more than just something like knowing a fact like 2 plus 2 equals what? 4. This knowing is believing that Jesus can do what many deem to be impossible. To heal the blind, the deaf, to cause the lame to walk again, to cast out demons. You know, those who were crazy at one time to be now peace-filled and in their right mind. They know, they believe from experience. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The bottom line is they have a belief that says they believe Jesus can heal the sick. They believe Jesus can heal the sick. And then Martha adds on the end of this, Mary asks the same question later, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Martha adds this on, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And we have to ask ourselves, is Martha believing Jesus beyond just healing the sick? Believing that Jesus could even raise her now dead brother for 4 days from the dead? Is she growing in her faith? Is she stretching out the branches of faith in her life?
Or is she simply reaffirming that Jesus has a special connection with God to do healing? As I read this, I'm thinking the first, don't you? That she's being stretched in her faith. That Jesus can even raise Lazarus from the dead. Let's see which one. Jesus responds to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Wow, we're setting it up. It's going to happen. And you would think she would say, "Well, let's go to the tomb and get this done. Let's glorify God, deepen our faith in you, Lord." That's what I would expect to hear her say next. But her response is this: "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." At some future point in time. So although they believe Jesus can heal the sick, we know now that they don't believe Jesus can raise the dead. At least not until the last day, the resurrection point. So let's say a person can have faith in Jesus on a sliding scale from 1 to 10. They believe that they being Martha, Mary, and the disciples, they believe that Jesus, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. Oh, let's give them a 1 out of 10. They believe that he can heal the sick, cast out the demons. Oh, we'll give him a 2 in their faith out of 10. And, you know, they know that he speaks with an authority that's just out of this world. All right, we'll give him a 3 out of 10. Raise the dead? Nah, not so much. So they're at this 3 in their faith level. 3 in this faith level. And I love Jesus' response to Martha, "I know he will rise again to the resurrection at the last day," because Jesus says this. In fact, Jesus' response is so great. It's oftentimes shared when we find ourselves dealing with death. Read it with me. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." You know, I sense he's stretching her belief, her faith. Not that eternity is coming someday. It's about living in eternity today, now. I am the resurrection. Not in the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Not someday in the future. I am the life. I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am here right now standing before you, not tomorrow. Sometimes we don't think. Sometimes we don't think we'll get to heaven until we die. I would say that was true of most Christians. We don't think that we're going to get to heaven until one day we die. But Jesus is saying, heaven is already here. Eternity is today. And I think he's forcing her to stretch out her faith. To go from saying being a 3 out of 10 to a 4 out of 10. You see, when you believe in Jesus, you're already living in eternity. You're already living in eternity now. You don't have to wait. Amen? Let's just call it good and go home. You'd like that, wouldn't you? In our faith journey, too many Christians believe eternity will happen at some point in the future. But eternity is now for those who believe. Doesn't that just stretch your faith? I'm living in eternity now. We have to note that to take the next step in faith, we need to move from believing eternity happens after death to eternity happens after belief in Jesus. We don't have to wait till death for eternity. We just have to wait till we believe in Jesus. You know, you should circle that scripture in your Bible and let that roll around in your head. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Why did he say it two different ways? Let it roll around this week. Now, some here already know this, and it changes how you not only see life now, but how you live life now. Friends, when your faith says you're already living in eternity, it causes you to become more attentive to God. It causes us to seek God's attention more, to be more in harmony with not only God, but with each other, and to worship God more enthusiastically. This morning, we worshiped God enthusiastically, didn't we? Yes, Pastor. We're already with God now. We're living into eternity. Today. Man, that's good news. Do you remember the two purposes Jesus stated earlier in period one? What was happening was so that we might glorify God, and two, so that we might or may believe. And these are not supposed to be one-time events, glorifying God and believing. They're supposed to be growing edges in your life. We should always seek to glorify God with all that we say, with all that we think, with all that we do. Wouldn't you say yes? Yes, Pastor. We should seek to always grow more deeply in our knowledge and belief of God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. It should be a growing edge, always growing. But we know the disciples and Mary and Martha were already believers in Jesus. Not only that he was the Son of God, but that he could heal the sick, that he spoke with authority, and we give them a 3 out of 10. And Jesus is stretching their understanding, their faith, to believe more deeply. I wonder, do you realize when Jesus is stretching your faith? Or do those moments flutter by without notice in your life? When I think of some of the basic moments of faith stretching my life, a couple of the basic ones have already happened. Around the age of 7 or 8, we talked about the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer. I don't remember which, but Mr. Martinson, my Sunday school teacher, asked a question that made me think about God in a different light. That was one of those stretch points in my life. Confirmation, standing on my own before the congregation and confessing my faith in Jesus Christ. And then there was that time of hiatus. We all love to take hiatus. After I ditched the church after high school for 5 or 6 years, and when I was working, I realized I was missing something in my life, and it was something that only God could fill. And so I started attending church again, finally landing at a United Methodist church. Those were some moments of faith stretching in my life. But some real key moments of growth, came when I got involved with other believers who took their faith in God more seriously than I ever had. So much so, they even had their own Bibles. Oh my goodness, really? Some of them, you're not going to believe this, some of them even brought them to church. You've got to be kidding. I never took a Bible to church before. And then beyond that, some of them even studied their Bibles during the week. But what they had was a deeper, more abiding relationship with God than I had, and it was attractive to me. What is it that they're doing that I'm not? I wanted to grow my faith, so I began to do some of the same things. I got my own Bible. I began regularly reading the Bible and talking to God, meeting together and talking with other people about our experiences with God, and even praying for each other. Wow! Boom! Those are some moments when growth really took root, because my growth was being watered. But probably the biggest change for me came when I moved from simply believing in Jesus as my Savior. Maybe I was at a 2 or a 3. Knowing that Jesus was my Savior, but understanding also that Jesus wanted to be Lord of my life. Jesus was my captain. He was the head of my my company, the greatest superhero whom I wanted to emulate. And so instead of just being a savior, he was now going to be Lord of my life. Too many believers believe the lie, I simply need to believe Jesus is my savior. I'll have my ticket to heaven punched, i.e. I'll get it to heaven when I die. But eternity has already begun. Jesus' expectation is that we are already there and he is leading us now so that we might grow to be more like him now, so that we would glorify him, not someday in heaven, but glorify him now, so that we might be growing deeper in our relationship today and every day into the future. If you want to experience more transformation in your faith, it only comes by intentional shifts in your life. You gotta water the plant in order for it to grow. You gotta give it sunshine in order for it to flourish. And yet too often as Christians, we put our faith in the closet where there is no light, where there is no watering. And we expect it to do what? You grow with intentional shifts, moments when you say, I'm going to start doing this spiritual activity, and you even give someone else the ability to give you, hold you accountable to that activity. Moments when you say, I'm living in eternity now, it changes your perspective. Moments when you say, Jesus is both Savior and Lord of my life, and everything I do is going to glorify Him. When you make those kinds of statements in your life, it changes everything. Remember I said in a child's development, speech progression should be normal. And when a child stops developing in their speech, it causes concern, and often visits to the doctor are needed to determine if there's an issue. If your faith is on hold, if you're not seeing some faith stretching or developing in your life, it's not normal. No. You should be progressing, and when it stops or even takes a step back, you must go see the great physician to determine what the issue is and then get it corrected, or then get healed from it. If you don't, where does that leave you? I wonder what those moments are in your life which have helped your faith to grow. Like Martha, it oftentimes comes when we intentionally encounter Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift from God, and it is normal that it should not just grow, but that it should be growing. And like any living thing, faith will suffer if it's not attended to. So really, what are those moments in your life which have helped your faith to grow? Have you moved from Jesus being just your Savior to both Savior and Lord? Take some time to write it down. I've left some space for you in the sermon notes. Do it today sometime. What are those moments in my life where my faith has grown? What was it that caused it to grow? And sometime before bed tonight, what is one of several ways you can... What are one of several ways you can begin to incorporate into your life to help your faith intentionally grow, to begin to water it more? A spiritual practice, maybe Bible reading, prayer, fasting, meditating on Scripture, or maybe joining a Bible study or an adult Sunday school, being a part of a ministry on Sunday mornings like liturgist, usher, greeter, fellowship, food, computer, sound tech, band, right? What is it that can help you stretch your faith? Don't leave here and think, I'll get to this later. Later never comes, right? The Holy Spirit is always helping you to grow your faith, to deepen it, to cause you to become more vibrant, but you must be a part of that. God is not going to drag you kicking and screaming. To grow in your faith, you must water yourself. You must put yourself in the sun, shine, so that you can grow. Because growing in faith should be normal. I wonder, do you need to make an appointment with the great physician? Don't wait. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you have given us this gift of faith, and Lord, that you task us with helping it to grow. So we ask, Lord, that you would help us to grow it. That this week, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would cause each of us here to experience a moment of growth in our faith. Lord, that you would cause us to experience growth in our faith, that we would see it, and that we would glorify you because of it. We ask that you would do this for your glory. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,